Charlie! Oh, yes!
It's on its way! It's there! The miracle on grass! McCluggage kicks him into a prelim!
He's got it! Brisbane have won! Bailey's kicked the goal! The dream comes true!
Here it is! The Brisbane Lions have done it! The Hawks, the Bombers, the Crows, they couldn't do it in the 80s or the 90s, but the Lions have gone back to back to back to become the greatest side of the modern era. They are football's invincibles.
G'day and welcome to what will hopefully be the first of many episodes of the Brisbane Lions Fancast for the 2023 season. Now, this is something I've been toying with each and every year. Every year I say I'm going to do it. I'm going to do a podcast, going to get it off the ground, going to put in the effort, and then inevitably it ends up falling flat on its ass. But this is the year. And, well, obviously round one of the AFL season kicks off in a couple of days' time, so this is a mad dash to get it all off the ground and hopefully disseminate it far and wide and get a few ears around it. And feel free to throw any sort of feedback you like, good, bad, negative, positive, constructive, just downright abusive. Feel free to throw it my way because it's only going to make it better, hopefully. The one thing that got in my way this year is obviously The Raw Deal, fantastic podcast. Dom, Faye and Mike Whiting has been a staple for years. The official podcast of the Brisbane Lions has sort of gone out and done their own thing. And I thought, is there room for another fan podcast? And I thought, you know what? There's always room for different opinions. I can never, ever get enough footy content, especially when it comes to the Lions. So hopefully this does something for someone. In terms of who I am, I'm just a guy. My name is JB. I work in radio. I do a breakfast show on the Gold Coast that goes all through Brisbane, all across rural Queensland, north and west, and then some parts of New South Wales as well. I've been a footy nuffy my whole life. My granddad used to play for Fitzroy back in the 40s, born into the Fitzroy way of life, then obviously followed Brisbane when they merged in 96. I moved to Brisbane when I was about 22 from Melbourne, and the reason I chose Brisbane is because I thought, you know what? At least I'll get to follow my team. I'll get to go watch them play at the Gabba and get up close and personal. And that was 2013, which timed out quite well because one of the very first games that I ever went to in my solo time in Brisbane was the Miracle on Grass. So fantastic memories from that day. I was, you know, front row for the Simon Black Bay, which is something the club organised. If you wore black, you got to sit in this special bay. It was Simon Black's, it was the week after his record-breaking game for the Brisbane Lions. I think they played interstate for his actual record-breaking game. It was the first game back at the Gabba. Obviously, Ash McGrath's 200th, and as Mark Lecrae so eloquently put it, you know what happened next. So what to expect from this? Hopefully, I'm going to get some guests along the way or you know, a co-host at some point. But I figure, you know what? Pilot episode, get it off the ground. Obviously, have a look at the team, what they're up to throughout the week. Review of the game just gone. Preview of the game coming up. You know, give out votes, best on ground, the 3-2-1s. Have a look at the twos, the VFL team, see who's performing there. Could possibly push for selection in the seniors. Each week I'm going to take a random sort of mediocre player that we've had walk through the doors over the last 20-odd years, and we've had a few. Stay tuned later on in the episode. We're going to have our first one of those. And have a look at the rest of the league and cover some of the bigger stories that's happening and sort of touch on those as well. As for today, we're going to have a look at the two preseason games, well, the match sim and the preseason game that we played against Sydney and Geelong. I'm going to have a look at, you know, what we can expect from the year, just a vague sort of outline of who it's going to be a big year for, what we can sort of expect from certain players. Prediction of the top eight for 2023. And of course, it wouldn't be a preseason podcast without giving my best 22 for the Lions for round one. So that's all to look forward to. So let's dig in.
Now they can go. Hipwood. McCluggage. Long range. Bang.
Now let's address this off the top. The Brisbane Lions Fancast. You're probably thinking, wow, what an imaginative name. And look, I did toy around with the idea of a funky, punny name. Like the Raw Deal, I suppose. I wanted to stay away from anything raw. And then even Rawsome came up. And I leaned towards that for a second. And I thought, you know what? That's totally cringy. Tried to work the word Gabba into something. And that doesn't really work. The AFLW podcast that the Lions have got, Between the Lions, that is basically the perfect name for a Brisbane Lions podcast. And I thought, you know what, let's just do what it says on the tin. It is a podcast from a fan. It is the Brisbane Lions fan podcast. So let's just not beat around the bush. People will know what they're listening to when they click it. So that's where we're at. 2023, big season for the Lions, hopefully, as most footy supporters are walking into this season with a degree of optimism. The club's been selling all sorts of hope in any way, shape or form to their various supporters. People are having the best pre-season they've ever had, pushing PBs and the running trials and the bench press and all that sort of stuff. So this season is like many that have come before them. Of course, we've got the credits in the bank, though. Obviously, the last 4 years, top four finishes, semi-final, prelim, semi-final, prelim. I don't think anyone was going to stop Geelong last year. You could put anyone in front of them. And as you saw the week later when Sydney got their pants pulled down by them as well, there was no stopping the Cats. But it doesn't take away from the fact that we didn't perform. So we've obviously made some moves to try and take the next step, make that elusive grand final that we just can't seem to get to. Out goes Tom Berry. He goes to the Gold Coast. All the best to him. I hope he gets games there because I really like Tom Berry. His ball use is pretty poo, but one thing you can't coach is attitude and his spirit. The way he attacks the ball, the way he attacks the contest, his rough doggedness is something that shouldn't be lost to football. So I hope he gets game time at the Suns and we see him play regular AFL footy. Mitch Cox gets delisted. So does Connor McFadgen. Robbo retires. Eli Smith and David Uosis both delisted. And the big one, of course, Dan McStay as a free agent decides to go to Collingwood. In comes Will Ashcroft, of course, the much touted number one, number two pick. Father-son Will Ashcroft, who's already lighting up. Shadow Brain comes in. Josh Dunkley traded from the Dogs. Jasper Fletcher, pick number 12. Jack Gunston, really looking forward to seeing what he can offer. Darryl Joyce as a preseason supplemental pick. Daryl McDowell, White Jr. comes in as a Category B. And Connor McKenna as an absolute freebie at the end of it as well. As we already know, Will Ashcroft, Josh Dunkley, and Jack Gunston, they're all locks starting 22, round one. They'll be there. They'll be making a difference from the get-go, especially those two midfielders. Not only rack up the ball, but the thing we've been missing and the thing that has been said so much about the Brisbane Lions over the last couple of years is that team defense, and those two in particular, especially Josh Dunkley, who's been playing that trade for a long, long time, has got a defensive mindset. Normally we've relied on Jared Lyons as our defensive mid, but he's just looked off the boil and obviously fell out of favor towards the back end of last year as well. Will Ashcroft obviously can rack up the ball as well, but even these two preseason games and those, you know, handful of games he played in the VFL last year, the way he tackles and has a two-way mindset is just really something that we have lacked. So those two in particular are going to make a difference there. But I think the biggest value recruit is going to be Jack Gunston. Now, there's athletes and there's footballers, and Jack Gunston is a footballer through and through. He's old. I mean, he's not old. He's 31. I'm older than him. But in terms of, you know, elite AFL athletes, he's old. He's probably, we gave him a two-year deal, so he'll make it through this year, perhaps last year. He might earn himself another year, depending on where the list and the team is at that point. He's not the quickest, never been the quickest, but can find space and can hit the scoreboard. Can hit the scoreboard. Good for 2-3 goals a game consistently throughout his career, and I think that's going to make the biggest difference. A lot of people are saying it's like for like, McStay out, Gunston in, but the difference is going to be Gunston's going to stay closer to home. I don't think we're going to see him roaming around the wings and outside forward 50 too much. McStay would often attack the wings, even go all the way to halfback to take those big pack marks or bring the ball to ground when the ball's getting brought in. I think Jack Gunston is going to play largely closer to goal, and we're going to, you know, from the first two preseason games, it looks like Joe Danaher and Erica Hipwood are going to be those guys that roam up the ground a little bit, bring the ball to ground, get our Charlie Camerons, our Zach Baileys to crumb those balls and get the ball moving forward. And we saw that in that first goal against the Cats in the preseason game. Zach Bailey attacks a ball, gets the crumb, punches it forward. Jack Gunston's one out in the forward 50, gets goal side of his opponent, goal. I think that's the sort of role that Gunston's going to play, and I think he's going to be our most valuable off-season recruit. We know Will Ashcroft's going to play. We know Josh Dunkley's going to get games, of course, week in, week out. The other one is Connor McKenna, who has played both the preseason games against the Swans and the Cats. He is a little bit wait-and-see for me. you know, a couple of years out of the game, I'm not sure he just waltzes straight into that first 22 for round one. The other thing I don't, for whatever reason, it sat with me, it's rubbed me up the wrong way, for lack of a better term. One of the interviews he did when he did decide on Brisbane as the club he wanted to play for, obviously there was a handful of clubs that were vying for his signature. You know, journalists asked, you know, so what was it about Brisbane? And he immediately went to, well, you know, they're the club pushing deep into September, they're playing finals, I want to play a premiership. And that really, I mean, to me, that says a little bit about his character. He's in it for himself, not so much the team, and I'm hoping I'm wrong. But, yeah, it's a bit much to ask 2 years out of the game. Obviously, he has still been playing elite sport over in Ireland, but it's not to the same level, and you do need a little bit of footy now to play AFL. Not to say, he's obviously a very highly rated AFL quality player, one of Essendon's best over the last few years when he was still on their list. Very exciting player to watch, a lot of speed off the halfback, takes a lot of running bounces. Ball use can be a bit iffy, but has been known to do some special things. So, look, I wouldn't be unhappy if he gets a game, but that halfback line is just stacked for players looking to get a spot. Daniel Rich, Kadeem Coleman, Stasevic, Noah Answorth, Darcy Wilmot, Pryor, Callum Archie as well. They're all sort of looking for a spot where there's only maybe one or two spots to be filled. So at this stage, I think Connor McKenna sits out for the first couple of games, plays VFL, sees how it goes there, and that spot goes to Answorth if he's fit. That would be my choice, potentially even Darcy Wilmot. But Daniel Rich is the question mark. He's got enough credits in the bank that he gets that spot for round one, but each and every year he just looks slower and slower, not so defensively minded, whereas Kadeem Coleman got a little bit more speed, and he's got that same ball use. And even in those preseason games, we can see him floating around the 50 arc, maybe looking to snag a goal from, you know, around the 50-metre arc, just inside, just outside. So Daniel Rich isn't the lock that he always has been, which is a shame because I've always loved Daniel Rich. We all have. I mean, he's been a terrific servant of the club for many, many years and has had plenty of opportunities to go back home to West Australia. But he is he's stuck fat with the club, and I'd love to see him win a premiership at the end of the year, but his spot isn't as concrete as it once was. So he's going to be, I don't think he's going to play all 22, 23 home and away games this year, that's for sure. If we have a quick look at those two preseason games, the Cats and the Swans, winning both those matches by around about the 8-goal mark. I think the Swans game was probably a little bit more impressive for me. Not to say that that game against the Cats where it was pretty much over by halftime wasn't great, but it also wasn't Geelong. Now, that's a Geelong team that's missing 6-7 of its best players. Duncan's out, Jack Henry's out. Most importantly, Tom Hawkins and Jeremy Cameron are both out, and they are two of, if not the two best forwards in the AFL, two of the top five. That's 8 goals. There's 7-8 goals that those two can kick between them, and you just saw what an effect it had on Harris Andrews. Harris had one of the better games in that game against Geelong. He was intercepting everything. He was getting a lot of hold-free kicks, which was interesting with the four field umpires. An umpire designated each forward 50. It was calling a little bit more of those holding free kicks, so that's going to be a little bit of watch and wait for the 2023 season. Had a great game, spent 100% of the time on the ground, looked back to his best. Whether that translates into the season proper, who bloody knows? I think it's going to be a big year, obviously, for Jack Payne. Marcus Adams, sadly, I don't think we're going to see Marcus Adams again. He's obviously out for a good portion of this year. And if you've got concussion symptoms that are hanging around for that long, it's a fair bet that that is probably going to be the end of your career. And it's a real shame because Marcus was playing some good footy for us. He was one of our best key defenders along with Harris, and they made a fantastic team. But I think it's now time for Jack Payne to step up and be that player that we know he can be. Tremendous athlete, not the best footy brain, and his disposal is fairly questionable, but the potential is there for him to have a great year. And I think him being in the 22 week in, week out, it can only do him better. So he's going to come up against his challenges, especially in the first 4 weeks. Port Adelaide got three tools with Marshall, Dixon and Georgiadis. And then a couple of weeks later, Melbourne. Have a look at them. Gorn, Grundy, Tom McDonald. They've got Harrison Petty. They can roll forward as we saw last year, along with Ben Brown. So they've got a fair amount of tools in their team as well. And then the Dogs, well, they've got about 48 of the things. So we are going to need some tall stocks in that first couple of weeks. So Jack Payne is going to have a a tough few weeks ahead of him, but I think he's going to more than hold his own, and it's going to be a good test for Harris as well. That back six is probably the most unsettled line, I suppose. We've seen a number of people roll through that half-back wing position, and as I said before, and that third tall is really going to be the question. We'll get to our best 22 later on in the show, but Darragh Joyce, has he done enough to get a spot round one? I think if he gets a spot, it's going to be out of necessity, not out of, yeah, this is the guy we want to play. I mean, that's Darcy Gardner's spot, but he's unavailable, so who do we put in? Do we put Darragh Joyce in and just risk it, knowing that he performed quite well in the VFL preseason match? Do we go back to someone we know in Ryan Lester? Or roll the dice again with Tom Fullerton, who has been tried all over the ground, ruck forward, and has been playing in defence the last sort of year or so, and just hasn't really been able to prove himself in any one of those positions? So I think his time may or may not be done at this point. So Darragh Joyce is, I guess, front of that queue. But we do need that third tall, and the quicker Darcy Gardner can get back, the better. Kitty Coleman looks like he's in for another big year. He made heaps of strides forward last year. His disposal is obviously elite. He's still not the quickest, but he does manage to evade tacklers quite well. So he's got a little bit of speed behind him without being blisteringly quick, like a Connor McKenna or a Darcy Wilmot type. So I think the best 22... most people sort of agree on around about 80-90% of that team. There's a lot of people that have solidified their spots. The forwards and the midfield more or less pick themselves. At back six is a little bit more iffy, but there's just those players on the fringe that we wanted to see a little bit more out of. The Jimmy Tunstalls, the Jackson Pryors, the Harry Sharps. Jimmy Tunstall did some nice things in the preseason. Didn't get a whole lot of the footy, but when he did, he seemed to use it quite well. His defensive tackling was quite good as well. Saw him chase down Cam Guthrie at some point from about 10 metres away. That really, I don't think he particularly laid the tackle, but he could put enough pressure on that the ball got turned over, and I think we got a score out of it. So Jimmy Tunstall's coming along quite nicely. Once again, I don't think he's going to be best 22, especially for round one, but not a bad bloke to have in the wings that can continue to improve. And then by the time he does come into the team, we'll hopefully play a bit more regular senior footy and play quite well as well. Darcy Wilmot looks like he will get maybe not every game this year, but at least maybe 15, 16 games. I think FaZe has really got high hopes for him, and I do like the way he attacks the ball, comes off his man, and that's going to come back to bite him from time to time. But we saw last year in the final, especially that final against Richmond, ball was basically in the centre of the ground. Motti was running back with his player towards goal to try and defend. Saw the ball come loose, made the decision on the spot, left his man, made a beeline for the ball, got through, burst through maybe a tackle or two, got the ball moving forward, and I think we got a score out of that. So that's not going to work every time. In fact, it's, you know, half the time he's going to be made to look like a real bell end, but when it does work, it looks really good, and I think that's something we've been missing, a little bit of attacking flair off the half back line. I mean, we've got some great ball users in Coleman and Rich, but in terms of genuine speed and attacking flair, they don't really, well, Rich especially doesn't possess that. Kitty a little bit more so. And Connor McKenna obviously will add to that as well. The two big ones that are right on the fringe and are very high quality AFL players, Jared Lyons and Reece Matheson. Now, I don't know, does this shove Reece Matheson back in the pecking order one more? Is JL before him? Is Matho in front of JL now? It's a great question, and I don't begrudge Reece if he decides that. I think he put the feelers out at the end of last year to see if any teams were interested in putting him on their list, and fair enough too. But I think, you know, at the end of this season, he'll be doing the same and probably attacking that a little bit more if he can't get regular game time. JL, obviously, fantastic AFL player. He's been huge for us over the last few years, and has really helped our centre bounce work immeasurably over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. But as I said, he's just looked a little bit off the boil. Apparently this groin's slowing him down quite a lot. And I take you back to that game against Fremantle last year where, especially that third quarter, I counted, you know, maybe 3 or 4 times where Will Brody just seemingly walked out of a stoppage. And that was JL's man, and JL was 3 or 4 paces behind in a very short amount of time. That game against GWS as well, he didn't really seem to want to lay a tackle. He more corralled players rather than tackling. And at the end of the end of the year, I think he led our tackling numbers, but it wasn't the same JL that we've seen the last couple of years. And whether that's due to injury or just age or complacency or who knows, because he seems to land at a club, light it up for a year or two, and then slowly fade away. So maybe that's just the pattern. Maybe he just falls into habits and a bit of complacency, like I said, or maybe it's just his body not holding up to the rigors of AFL. So both of those players are going to be huge wait and see, but they're fantastic players to be rolling around in the twos. I mean, if we get an injury to Dunkley, to Neil, I mean, we saw what happened a year or two ago when Neil was injured for that sort of 6-7 week period and Reece came in and we only lost a match. So these are players that make a great squad, make a great team that will hopefully push us well into the back end of September when we've got that much depth rolling around. You know, players like Nakai Cockatoo, who is had nothing but great stuff said about him for years and years and years, and he can't get a look in at the moment. And I don't know what the story is there. He played maybe the first half a dozen games last year and then was dropped and was never seen again, then delisted. We've got him on the rookie list now, and he played, 5 minutes in that game against the Cats and then played again in the VFL 2s game. So we've got some decent players that just aren't getting a look in that, I don't know, if Fags has looked at them and gone, you know what, you're just not part of the plans at the moment, that you've got too much work to do, where there's other players that are willing to put in that work and make their case for the best 22. We know they can play, and maybe it's at a point where we know what we're going to get out of them. Maybe we can't get any more out of them. Let's see who can get that little bit more and play them and see what we can produce with that team. So overall, I mean, it's hard not to be impressed with the two preseason games. I'd rather be 2-0 than 0-2 and then sit there, worry about what we need to fix before round one in a space of 2 week time like Port Adelaide. I remember I was having a chat to a mate who's a Port Adelaide supporter after the first game against West Coast. He wasn't too worried. Yeah, no dramas, you know, it's West Coast. We didn't have our best team in. We weren't really trying. And this was the day before they played Fremantle as well. And he said, just watch out tomorrow when we play Fremantle. We've got our full strength team in. It'll be a different story. And then they got done by another, you know, 6 or 7 goals. So now he's genuinely worried about round one and I'm feeling a little bit more buoyant. But, you know, you never take too much out of preseason. Like I said, just because we won by 7-8 goals in both our matches, it wasn't exactly the Geelong that we know is going to show up for the next 23 weeks. But hard not to be impressed with what we saw. I think all we really needed to get out of those two games was see how our new recruits fit in. Dunkley, Ashcroft, Gunston. Those are the two big ones. And work out how that forward line is gonna work with Hipwood, with Danaher, who's coming back from that shoulder surgery, and how they're going to work with Gunston, that third tall in the forward line, who's going to be playing a different role now that Hippie and Joe are moving up the ground a little bit more. And from all accounts, Joe, that had the hard discussion with Danny Daly at the end of last year, that his defensive pressure needs to lift immeasurably. And we did see in that, especially in that first game against Sydney, and again in Geelong, a lesser extent, he did lay some big tackles, and tackles that were meant to hurt as well. So if we can get that aspect into his game as well, Chuck was moving way up the ground. He's getting more ball, and we probably saw this towards the back half of last year as well. He's getting more ball in the back half of the ground and working his way up rather than just sort of camping close to goal, waiting for the ball to come in over the top and he can run back with it towards goal. He's getting a little bit more midfield time. Well, not midfield time, but he's working up the ground more, setting up play from behind the ball a little bit more as well, rather than just being on the receiving end, which is fantastic to see. And now he's in the leadership group, so it looks like he's embraced that role, and he's accepted and playing that role quite well. And Fagg is obviously happy with the way it's going. He's in the leadership group, and I think we can expect a big year from him. Similar to Zach Bailey as well, who works up the ground a lot more and has never really been that close to goal type player. But obviously we know what he can do around stoppage, and especially in a forward 50 stoppage as well. So it's hard not to be excited about round one. It is a couple of days away now. And our best 22, which we will get to very, very shortly, who's going to line up against that Port team who, I'm not going to say they're on the ropes. A lot of people are expecting them to bounce back from a fairly underwhelming year last year. Now, obviously, well documented, they started 0-5. Is Ken Hinckley going to get the sack? And if you have a look at the Port Adelaide Facebook page or any of their socials at the moment, after that round two, that second game against Fremantle where they got done in, a lot of people are not happy with the way they are looking. They're screaming, same game plan, bomb it long to the forwards. They're calling for Ken Hinckley's head before round one's even started, and they want to replace him with Josh Cart before the damage is done. So I think they're going to come out with a point to prove big time. They've got some fantastic players on their team. We know that Charlie Dixon is one of the great forwards. He's not Tom Hawkins level. He's not, you know, a Tom Lynch, but he is, on his day, he can kick a bag and really make a difference for those guys. Todd Marshall is up and coming, and I think Jack Payne will have his work cut out for him there. That's going to be a case of Todd Marshall being a little bit more football-minded, whereas Jack Payne, an athlete, obviously much bigger and stronger than Todd Marshall, but can he outwork him and find some space and create some goals? Which leaves Mitch Georgiades to do his thing, and we're gonna struggle to sort of find a decent matchup for someone like that, I think, with the stocks that we've got at the moment. They've obviously got some decent midfielders, but it doesn't bat too deep once you get past Butters, Rosie, Boak, and Sam Pelpepper. It does run quite thin after that, whereas we've got another... Willem Drew is quite a fine footballer. He's not going to set the competition alight, but he does a role and he does it quite well. Other than that, they do back quite thin in the midfield. So they're going to really need to put the pressure on nice and early from that centre bounce first up if they want a competitive match. Because I think, all in all, looking at the way the two teams are situated, taking the preseason into account to a very minor degree, we should get the win. Even if it is away down in Adelaide Oval, we don't seem to have too many issues down there. I mean, we've obviously beaten Port Adelaide there a couple of times, and Adelaide as well. So I'm tipping us to win by 4 or 5 goals. I mean, I don't think we're going to completely blow them out of the water, but I don't think it's going to be too uncomfortable either. And that's, you know, who knows, 4 or 5 days' time when it's all done and dusted, this could very well come back to bite me and make me look like a real idiot, and then no one will ever listen to this again, and fair enough. So let's do it. So let's have a look at our best 22 for round one, or 23. We've got the tactical sub that has been introduced for this year. Let's start it from the forwards, and because it's the easiest to go ahead with. So Chuck, Joe, and Gunston, they're your full forward line. Bailey, Hippie, Link as your half forwards. Across the middle, Bez and Dev on your wings with Neil in the middle. Also in the middle, obviously, Big O, Dunkley, and McCluggage. They're your sort of rucks and rovers. Now, as we get to the back half of the ground, Kitty, Payne, and Rich. Your back line, Stas, Harris, and I have Chuck Dara Joyce in there just out of the need of another tall, I say that in air quotes, tall defender to look after Mitch Georgiades, but he's the only real asterisk on the starting field for me. He's got a big question mark, and what that position is actually going to feel like, I still don't know if we're going to roll with Joyce in there. On the bench, Will Ashcroft, Cam Rayner, Noah Answorth, and Darcy Wilmot. You know, Ashley is as your next midfielder. Rayner, who can play basically anywhere now, who's been playing off the halfback in the preseason, and we know he's an accomplished forward and has been playing in the midfield as well. Answorth as a sort of halfback and wing, and Wilmot sort of fits that as well, which leaves our tactical sub, and this is where I struggle the most. Do we go with a sort of versatile player? Do we go with an extra midfielder like a Reese Matheson? Do we go another ruck? Do we chuck Darcy Ford in there as an extra tall in case we lose a tall, which, I don't know, I'm kind of leaning towards at this point. Fagan, over the years, has shown that he does like to play two rucks, so this could be the lever he needs to pull to play two rucks and have Darcy Ford as that second ruck, as that tactical sub, which I don't mind. Or do we just put in one of those fringe players like a Jackson Pryor, who can play sort of play over the ground, but it does make that team a little bit of sort of wing halfback heavy, and there's going to need to be some reshuffling depending if we get an injury to sort of a tall or a full forward type. If a Charlie Cameron goes down, for instance, or a Kitty Coleman, those are going to be tough to replace. So I think I'm going to land on Darcy Fort for this one, for round one, and see what happens there. I very much doubt that's how it's going to land. But just for the balance of the team, for that extra tall, I do like Darcy Fort in that position. combined with Fag's love to play two rucks, which he hasn't necessarily stuck with, especially last year. He has cooled off on that idea a little bit more and relied more on Joe and Daniel McStay to play that second ruck role. So it's probably not going to fall that way with Darcy Ford as the tactical sub, but I might look like a bloody genius if it does fall that way. So that's my 22. Once again, Chuck, Joe, Gunston, Bailey, Hippie, Link, Bez, Neil, and Dev across the centre, Kitty, Payne, and Dan Rich, Stas, Harris, and Dara Joyce, Big O, Dunkley, and McCluggage in the guts, Ashcroft, Rayner, Answorth, and Wilmot on the bench with Darcy Ford as your sub.
Oh, Cornelius! That was a great mark. It was a spectacular effort by Brennan, and Cornelius kicks his second for the third term, and they get a little bit of breathing space.
Now, I did say at the start, each week we're going to have a look at a mediocre player that has walked through the doors of the Brisbane Lions across the last 20 years, because there has been more than a handful. And I thought I'd kick things off with the man, Aaron Cornelius, who did play a total of 25 games across 4 or 5 years between 2009 and 2013. Did some special stuff in that time as well. Obviously, was known to take the odd hanger, kick a couple of goals. Basically about it for him. Never really did a huge amount in that time where Jono Brown was still our number one forward, in a time where we didn't have too many other tall forwards rolling through the door. So Aaron Cornelius was sort of it for a bit after we ditched Brendan Favola. We thought this could be the guy. Don the number 44 in that time. Never really won a game off his own boot. Forcibly retired, I guess you'd say. Went back and played some footy in Tassie and did a horrific knee injury, and now I think he's coaching Glen Orchy down in the TSL. But I just thought I'd take a trip down memory lane and have a look through Aaron Cornelius. 25 games all up, a total of 35 goals, so he did quite well there. In fact, he kicked a total of 13 goals in 2012, and then just never really was able to solidify his spot. This is a time where we had the likes of Bryce Retzlaff as another potential key forward to roll through the doors. And then we had players like Jordan Burke and things like that who were talls that never really got a decent crack at it. So feel free to share your own Aaron Cornelius stories if you've got any. If you've got any, please share. I'd love to hear it. And if you've got any suggestions for some mediocre players we can have a look at over the next few weeks, that would be great as well. There's, like I said, there's plenty to choose from. Maybe it's a James Hawksley. Maybe it's a Ron Hooper. Maybe it's a Jesse O'Brien or a Zach O'Brien or another O'Brien. Let us know. Jump in any sort of comments or and just get in touch and let us know. Or you can always email at blfancast@gmail.com and we'll have a look at some of the more mediocre players that the Lions have had through the doors at the time. So that takes us more or less to the end of the first one. This is just a pilot episode. It is going to be the worst episode of this podcast that ever exists, and it can only hopefully get better as I get more contributors through the doors. Like I said, this is just getting it off the ground, so there is something there to launch from. This is rock bottom, so if you've made it this far, bloody well done. And hopefully I haven't sounded too ridiculous. There hasn't been too many shit takes in amongst all of that, and we can look forward to a great season 2023. I'm going to leave you now with my top eight as we head into round one, which is only a couple of days away now. And feel free to follow BL Fancast. You can follow that on Instagram. There's going to be a Reddit account and blfancast@gmail.com as well if you want to get in touch, or you can just leave a review and a comment on any of the podcast episodes. I would really appreciate it. Like I said at the start, any sort of feedback would be great, good, bad, or otherwise. It can only make it better. And I think, as I said, there is room for more fancasts out there, not just about the Lions, but about the AFL in general. So please get in touch and let us know what you want to hear, because there's no point in me just doing my own thing if you're going to listen to my voice for however long if it's not going to be hearing what you want to hear. So please do get in touch. I will leave you with the top eight prediction for the 2023 season. And look, I haven't exactly pushed the boat out a huge amount on this one. I think I've only got one change. So history will tell us there's at least two or three. And one team will surprise us. And if it's going to be anyone, who knows? Adelaide looks like they're playing some good footy, whether they've got the cattle to actually produce it across a whole season. Who knows? But there will be a surprise bolter and a slider. So who the hell knows? Well, in no particular of the top four, I think Melbourne, Geelong, Brisbane, Sydney will be a top four. And I think Melbourne and Geelong are obviously going to be the two teams to beat. I think we might just be a little bit below Melbourne and Geelong in terms of not necessarily skill or list, just whatever it is between the ears that can't get us quite to that final line that those teams have been able to do. They look like they're ready to roll again. So those are going to be the two teams to beat. Sydney is a bit of a gamble as well. History will show us that you don't get your pants pulled down in the grand final and respond quite well. So they could drop to the bottom half of the eight or even drop out altogether as well. Carlton, Collingwood, Dogs and Richmond for your 5-8 there as well. Not overly sold on Collingwood, not overly sold on Dogs, not overly sold on Richmond as well. I think anyone under Suns, Fremantle, even Port could take any of those positions. But for the meantime, Melbourne, Geelong, Brisbane, Sydney, Collingwood, Carlton, Bulldogs and Richmond, I think they'll be your top eight at the end of the year. But obviously that's going to be wrong because it's still 23, 24 weeks away.
But I do want to leave you on one thing, you little beauty!